Blog Talk Radio.
You join us, your radio host, Pastor Mina Livingston, with Push My Story. Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something or somebody. Amen. We just thank you, amen, because God has been so good to us. And at this time, we get ready to, amen, to hear the word of God coming from Elder Gerald Livingston with Push Outreach Ministry, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. Here he is.
Good morning to all of you today, listening to the sound of my voice. This is Elder Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministries. And today, we'll be discussing the topic of love. God's greatest gift is love. He sent his son, manifested in the form of flesh, to pay the penalty for sin at the cruel, rugged cross so that all of us can inherit eternal life and be free from the ravages of a sin cursed world while we are here, while we are temporary here. By the end of this lesson, we'll explore the meaning of love as seen in 1 Corinthians 13, feel appreciation for one another in love, and seek a variety of ways to express love. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn to, in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians, 13th chapter. And I will be starting at the first verse and cover as much as I can in the time that is allotted to me. Now, the first verse says, "Though I speak with the tongue of men and of angels." Actually, it says in the Greek, if it were possible to speak with the tongues of men and of angels as well. Paul is not denigrating speaking with tongues, as some have claimed. "And have not charity, love, I become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal," does not refer to our modern musical instruments, which we call by that name, but that which made no more than a clattering sound. Now, a lot of people talk about love, but they just talk about love. They don't have any love in their heart. You know, it's with them, it's just a byword, something to say to get somebody's attention or to try to deceive somebody to get something out of them or whatever. Okay, but the only pure love that exists in the universe is the love of Jesus. Because, see, Jesus is going to tell you the truth in love, okay? Now, man, most oftentimes, man's going to talk to you, but his heart is not really with you a lot of times. When you deal with people, as long as you know things are going their way, they love you, they say they love you. But when they have exchange of words with you and things, you may disagree with what they say with or feel contrary to the way they want things, all of a sudden they no longer seem to care about you or love you so much. See, that's a weird, that's how man's love is. It's very fickle, and it's very it's based on reciprocation of what you can do for each other and not a genuine love that you would have for a person just for who they are. All right? Now, Paul wrote, as I was reading, you heard the name Paul mentioned. Paul wrote the book of 1 Corinthians, okay? Apostle Paul, he was a man who was on his way to Damascus, and God knocked him off his horse with a bright light, and he commissioned him to write the Gospels, which he wrote 13 of, and a lot of people think he wrote the book of Hebrews, which would make it 14. But they didn't see any author listed under the book of Hebrews. But from the style of writing, it would appear that Apostle Paul also wrote the book of Hebrews. And if any of you know anything about the books of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews is often referred to as the faith chapter. Now, if you don't have any faith, you can't even walk the walk of trying to approach God, because, see, God is not a God of works. You got all these different religions and all these people trying to earn their way to God with their deeds and what they do, but that's not going to usher you into the presence of God one day, okay? You have to have a pure heart when you come before God, and you got to have a heart as a child. You know how innocent children are? Children don't know anything about evil much. It's only when they grow up and they start dealing with the world and dealing with situations and coming in contact with people that they more or less acquire evil in their carnal nature. It becomes expressed. It was there all along, but it doesn't show until they get older, okay? And then when they go about their way, their carnal nature seems to try to dictate to their mind, all right, the way they should go, and their mind, which is the center of their soulless realm, because man is a spirit, soul, and, you know, man is a spirit, soul, and body entity, and the soul of every individual where the emotions are, the mind is the center of that soul. And the when the individual comes into contact in the environment or people or whatever with different situations, his soul tries to tell his human spirit how to interpret and how to deal with life. But when that soul is talking to that human spirit is not activated by the grace of God and the word of God, then the person is going to interpret the world by their five senses of their body and their soulless realm, which is basically the intellect and mind. So a lot of people in this world, they interpret their love through their mind and their emotions, okay? The emotions especially. Because if they say, well, if it feels right or if this just feels right, that don't mean it's love, just because it feels right. There's a whole lot of things that felt right to people in this world. They found it later on was a big mess, and it was wrong. So your emotions is deceptive. You can't go by your emotions. You know, emotions are fickle. Emotions come with, like, the emotions that come and go like the wind. So, you know, don't be careful about that type of thing. Don't be getting entangled in your emotions every time you got to make some critical or crucial decisions, or even decisions that are life-changing as you journey through life, okay? Now, the second scripture says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains, that tells us that the gifts of the Spirit can be had by less than perfect people. That should be obvious. Just because, excuse me, you see people who have gifts of the Spirit, okay? But you said, but there's character. Something wrong with their character. Something about them not right. Well, they still have the gifts of the Spirit, but, you know, God gives the gifts. You know, it says the word of God that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. So you, when you run into individuals who seem not to add up to the letter of the word of God, you can't make a judgment call right away on the incident or what's going on, right? But over a period of time, if you dwell with these people or you have contact with these people, the fruit that they bear will expose what they really are and whether they really love you or they're just talking, okay? Because, see, love has it doesn't have conditions, but there are certain properties that love has that are not common to flesh carnal nature, okay? It says, and have not charity, which everything must be built, it is love, it's not we or nothing, all right? Now, you got a lot of people, philanthropists and stuff, leaving money to organizations when they pass away and why they live in, And people think, well, look, that was nice. Okay, that's what I would call a good deed, okay? But listen, a lot of the stuff that's done by a lot of these people, I'm not saying that their heart wasn't in the right place, but man wants to take those things and try to glorify himself instead of giving glory to the God who gave him the ingenuity and the money that he made along the way to donate to those causes. And instead of giving God glory for it, they give themselves glory. All right, and that's inappropriate, and it's not what you want to do. But people often do it, okay, because of man's carnal, fallen nature, right? Now, verse 3 says, and though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, just from gifts to works, and have not charity, which is love, okay, it profits me nothing. As commendable as the acts may be, they bring a grade of zero unless God's love motivates them. All right, I say God's love has to motivate the actions of these charitable givers and these good deeds. Now, a lot of people do these good deeds sometimes and charity works along the way because they got agendas and motives that don't have anything to do with love. It's something that they're trying to get from the individual or from an organization or something. And that's not, you know, that's not love, all right? That is called, you know, I want to get glory for the moment, or I want to bring attention or prominence to myself. That's not love, okay? Love doesn't function that way, okay? Now, characteristics of love I'm going to start talking about now. Start from verse 4. Onward. Verse 4, it says, charity, which is love, suffers long, refers to patience. Now, right there, you could take 80 or 90% of the world and get rid of them right away because they don't have no patience. Especially, we live in a society now where nobody wants to wait for anything. They want it now, they want it when they want it, and they don't want to wait for nothing. If they think they got to wait for an extended period of time, then it's useless. Okay, but when you deal with the system and the kingdom of God as he would have it, you have to develop patience, okay? It said Jesus learned patience and he learned obedience to the things which he suffered. All of us, while we are on this earth, when we have interchange with peoples and situations, everything, we got to have patience, okay? And you see how it is because, you know, certain things in society require patience when you go to do them. All right, when you go to do commerce or you're going into a store or doing certain things, there's periods of time while you're in that store, you got to have patience, you know, when you do certain procedures. But, all right, that's right, right there. After a period of time, you get conditioned to the fact while you're here, hopefully, that, well, some things you just got to have patience. That's just the way it is. But some people don't ever want to come to accountability with patience. Some people think they got so much money, they can buy any situation. They can buy time away so they don't have patience, okay? But you cannot put patience, you got to have patience. You got to have it. You got to wear it, okay? You can't just put it on when you get into a situation and think that, you know, you can take it off. Look, you got to have patience. Patience is something that you develop along the way, okay? Now, represents the second side of the divine attitude towards humankind, charity, okay? Now, charity is kind, okay? The God kind of love. Envies not, does not want that which belongs to another. Now, that spirit of envy is mighty in our country. Not only in our country, but all over the world. People are going around with these covetous spirits and these envy spirits and want things that they see that other people have that they don't have. Okay, that's not a God, and there's no love in it, okay? Because instead of you lusting and being covetous and wanting things that other people have, you just thank God what he blessed you with, okay? Because there's some things that you have that other people wish they had, but they don't have. But, you know, people being as ungrateful as they are and as greedy as they are sometimes, they overlook what God has blessed them with, and they get this greed spirit in them and say, I want more. I don't have as much as he or she has. That is envy. You got to watch that spirit because it's an evil spirit. It's a greedy spirit, and it's a destructive spirit. Because oftentimes, envy will take it to a conclusion. People will try to destroy other people just because they envy the people. I mean, spirit, soul, and body destroy them. That spirit is evil, is not of God. And it's one of the things it's talking of in Galatians, the 5th chapter, verse 21. You read all those things about the work of the flesh when you get some time after this discussion, and you see it listed there with jealousy and all that other mess, strife and all that stuff, okay? See, all of these things are the opposite of love. Envy is the opposite of love. Envy is love taken to its lowest depths, okay? Love is taken to its highest peak in terms of the human character, in terms of the love for individuals and God, and to respect people as God would see them and not as you would have them to be in your mind, regardless of what's going on, okay? So beware, it says the word of God, beware of envy, because it works against love, okay? All right, now, envy profiteth me nothing, as commendable as the acts may be, okay? Now, love vaunts not itself. It never a bragging. It's not puffed up. It's not prideful. Okay? It's not puffed up. No. A lot of people do something. They get an achievement. They get an award. And they get all puffed up. Look what I did. Aren't I great? Look at me. Everybody's going to recognize me as they should a long time ago for the person that I am. See, all attention is not going to God, it's going to flesh. You, what you did, okay, what you may have accomplished. But don't you realize that God didn't give you the intellect to accomplish and the patience to accomplish, okay? What you accomplished, you would have accomplished nothing because you don't have it in your spirit. It's not in your power to accomplish it on your own. But unfortunately, people with misplaced faith, misplaced faith means they have more faith in themselves to do stuff than they do God to do anything for them. And every time they make an accomplishment, they give accomplishment to how great I art and not how great he is or thou art. So you done switched the pronoun around, and now you got yourself on the pedestal, whoever you may be, and you say, look at all that I did. Look at this achievement award, okay? An athlete in the Olympics, when he gets the gold medal, okay? Now, he may have had all of the mechanical skills that developed his training, but if it wasn't for the grace of God, he would have got out of breath and wouldn't have made it to the finish line that time and got his medal, okay? So, I mean, you have to give God thanks in all things. I'm just saying, it says in the Word of God that when you run the race for eternal life, that's why I'm talking about this running thing for a minute. It says when you run the race for eternal life, you have to run it with patience. Okay, and running the race for eternal life means don't try to get ahead of everybody trying to get the eternal life. One day your time's gonna come. You know your time's gonna come to the proper earth. All right, and you know you'll go. Okay, but I mean you know it's like the tortoise and the hare. Right, you're gonna run all quick so you can get to the finish line. Before you get the finish line, you done got out of breath and life done beat you down so bad you ain't got no breath to cross the finish line through all of the traps, the deceits and deceptions in this world, and don't get and miss out because you ran too quick. Okay, you just gotta pace yourself. Let God pace you. But while he paces you, you go about your pace while he's pacing you, and every time you run into situations and encounter things, you have to walk in love, okay? It's a discipline, people. It's something that you got to discipline your mind to do every time you run into different types of circumstances and situations. You have to discipline yourself to love people and you have to ask God's grace for you to give you the grace to love some people because a lot of people as well are unlovable. And human flesh can't love unlovable mess. Nobody can. So if it's not for the supernatural power of God who bestows love upon you so that you can love the situation of the individual, it's impossible because you can't do it in your own strength. Believe me, it's impossible. It is the gift of God that he gives us to love because we don't have it enough. We don't have the capacity to love in ourselves. You say, quick, you got to get out of love. If somebody calls himself trying to mess with you again on your nerves, the flesh will rise up real quick and you get out of love real fast. Okay, but if you don't have the grace of God in you to monitor you and steer you and keep you right about how to go, then it's impossible, you know. When you go through this life, you got to wear this life as a loose garment. You cannot somebody says something to you, and instead of you dropping the thing off like a loose garment, you don't let it stick. You don't still wear the clothes about, I remember what they did last week or the year. And the devil's like, see, the devil, you know, let me tell you something, people. In your mind, you got a memory. okay? And you got an intellect, okay? And what the devil likes to do, especially the people who are unconverted and don't know God, is use your memory as a motion picture camera, a TV screen, and constantly tries to replay in your mind hurtful incidents or things that, remember this, remember that, remember. Okay, but then you say, see, when that comes up, or if you ever see that type of thing, you say, yeah, I remember the devil. Do you remember that how Jesus defeated you, and one day you're going to the bowels of hell to burn for eternity? You remember that? Now, you start thinking that way, believe me, you'll figure it out real quick. Say, I'm going to get away from this fool. I don't want to be bothered with it. I don't hear that, man. Because he knows his future. He just don't want, and he don't like to be reminded of his future. He don't want you to remind him of his future. That's why he's trying to remind you of any past you may have had, which is covered by the blood of Jesus. So, you know, it's one of these little wiles of the devil things. Just be aware of that, too. Okay? Now, okay, you don't be bragging, all right? Look at what I did, you know. Look at what I accomplished. Or, see, people get into this thing. I'm better than you. Or, she's better than he is. He's better than she is. Nobody else was better than nobody. What do you mean by better? How is a carnal nature, sinful flesh, anything going to be better than anything? Okay? When you think that on a spiritual plane about the things of God, you don't get into this prideful or braggart thing. Okay? Because you realize, you know, that it's, you know, if it wasn't for the grace of God, I wouldn't even be saved. If it wasn't for God's grace, I wouldn't have the temperament that I'm supposed to have. I wouldn't have the patience. I wouldn't have the love I should have. I wouldn't have the forgiveness I'm supposed to have. And I would be concerning myself with a whole lot of stuff that don't have no value, that if I dropped dead today, I couldn't take with me. So you have to be very careful about all of these type of things, okay? Now, verse 5, it says, does not behave itself unseemly. Is forgetful of self and thoughtful of others. No, the world is mindful of self and forgetful of others. Okay, it's the opposite, see. The world is self, self, self. And, oh, yeah, I'm supposed to do that for you. I forgot about it. Yeah, but they didn't forget about taking care of themselves, did they? Or getting what they wanted. But when it came to your stuff or something, you went, oh, I forgot about it. I'll do it next time or I'll get around to it. And they don't have no concern in how they think about you. A lot of people are so concerned and puffed up with self. And so self is on the throne. See, in this world, people, you got three things going on. You got God on one side, and if you have people, and you got the devil on the other side, and you right in the middle, okay? And all three of you, all three of you get a vote, okay? God get a vote, you get a vote, which is self gets a vote, and the enemy gets a vote. Now, you know how the enemy going to vote. He going to vote for anything you want to do. It's got something to do with yourself. Okay? So now when you give yourself over to voting with the enemy, now, you know, you truly more or less made a coalition, and you're trying to just get God out of the way. Okay? But see, when God comes and he infuses himself with his love and his kindness and his Holy Spirit in the individual, then, you know, it's like, see, you know what you got, right? You got God. Now, listen to this. You got God. You got Jesus Christ. You got the Holy Spirit, okay? Now, it says in the Word of God, a threefold cord is not easily broken, but you got yourself. Now you got a fourfold cord. You know, that's real, you know. Now, that threefold cord attaches to you, and now you got a fourfold cord, okay? So, I mean, you know, that's like impenetrable, okay? I mean, now you got a fortress surrounding you, okay? Instead of it being threefold cord, Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now it's fourfold cord because you got yourself. And they then all attach themselves to you, like a clone. So there's no way that while you walk this earth, that, you know, an enemy comes against you with that power and force that you may have possessed it. The enemy's going to ever conquer. See, the enemy's whole game is he figures that if he can control the mind, he can control the individual. But if the mind is saturated with the blood of Christ and submitted to the blood and obedience of Christ, and, you know, it's not submitted to the world and, you know, the lust of the world, lust of the eye, and pride of life, because these are the things that kick love out of the door. The lust of the world doesn't care about any love. It wants lust. All lust wants is the more it can get, the more it wants, and it never gets satisfied because it can never get enough. Lust never gets satisfied. It always wants more, okay? The lust of the eyes, well, The lust of the eyes has a lot to do with your mind, see, because when your eyes fix on stuff, then you start thinking about it in your mind, see. And then once you start thinking about that thing in your mind, see, that's the mind is where the enemy likes to play with you. He likes to play games with you. You know, look at that. Don't that look good? Or why ain't you got one? Or then you know, that kind of nonsense. The devil wants to distract you in your mind, but you cannot think on the things of God. Only on the things that are temporal in this world that don't mean anything, because when you die, you can't take nothing with you. Okay? I mean, they have their function and meaning while you are alive, but one day when you're dead, they are useless. Okay? So you can't think about them. You can think about, you know, you can enjoy them and, you know, you can go about the world with them, but you can't look at them as something that, you know, you're going to put on a pedestal and worship and cherish. Because, first of all, it can't return no love. All of the things in this world won't return no love. Let me give you words of admiration and words of praise. But that's not love. You know, now what happened to the person at the end of the tournament that came in second, third, and fourth, who tried as hard as they could, but they just didn't make it? Nobody giving them no praise and no admiration. They ignore them. They want the person that got to the finish line. Right? But, you know, look, the only finish line that exists in this world is the finish line of eternity. And the finish line of eternity determines where you spend eternity, okay? That's the only finish line you should be concerned with while you're here. And it's the spiritual finish line, all right? Because the destination and direction of your eternal soul, that's where you want to focus all of your attention, okay? That's where you need to focus your attention, and that's where you need to be thinking. Okay, because, well, wait a minute. Now, you know, I've done this with my life, and I've achieved this, and I got this, and I got these three cars and five homes, but I'm not happy. Well, look, people who aren't happy to have a lot of stuff, see what's going on is their insides is messed up. Something inside of them is not right. They can't get their insides to coincide with their stuff because they fail to realize that they are more than just the possession and the acquisition of their stuff. Okay, and the acquisition of a bunch of people. Like, some people don't want stuff. Some people want the praise of millions of people. They want millions of people to tell them they're great. It's still an idol. It's foolishness. Okay? It's vanity. Solomon called it vanity. He said, in this world, all is vanity and vexation of spirit. And it's the truth. Because no matter how much of whatever you may get or conglomerate along your lifetime, it all comes to vanity. Love is not vanity, okay? See? Because love doesn't vaunt itself. It doesn't make itself look proud. It doesn't envy, all right? It doesn't go about with deceit. Love doesn't function that way, okay? And the character of God is the essence. One of the characters of God is the essence of what he is, which he wants to imbibe or put in every person upon the earth when they accept Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, okay? Now, a lot of people, and all you listening out there, a lot of you getting mad right now because I just said two words that really got you angry. I said, Jesus Christ. I know. I'm going to have to see you. I know you got upset, okay? But, see, the only reason I brought up Jesus Christ is because, all right, whoever you are out there and whoever you say you serve, okay, I'm going to ask you, did your God, your philosopher, your God, did he die? Okay, now after he died, did he raise again after he died? Did he come from the grave? Did he stand back up and say, hey, you know, here I am now, I died and survived death? No, none of them did. None. The only one who's ever done it is Jesus Christ, okay? And for other reasons, a multitude of reasons, people hate that name. Christ said they were hated. And Christ said the people who name his name, they're going to hate you because they hated me. You know? So what you say, I'm a Christian and I love Christ, they're going to hate you. So, you know, I would like to continue on today, you know, with more of this discussion, you know, but perhaps another time I can get into, the components and properties of love, or the love that Christ, the Holy Spirit, and God would require us to have as we walk this earth as his disciples. Now, I hope all of you out there listening to me today got something out of this discussion. May God bless you as you continue on.
There you have it, by Elder Gerald Livingston. Push Outreach Ministry, spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ as far as it can go. You can look us up on Twitter and Facebook. We also have our website, pushformiracle.com, and so many information that you can receive, prayer, you can have meditation, you know, worship, and so forth. So we ask you to tune in to next Saturday. Amen. Push my story. Everybody have a story to tell. God bless you, and may heaven smile upon you. In the name of Jesus.